Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, Lord. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And a woman in the city, who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair. Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus spoke up and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher," he replied, "speak." A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debts for both of them. "Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then, turning towards the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered her house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is given loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." But those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
To just choose one of them. Lots of people, when they read this, they talk about the fact that this woman, in her bathing of Jesus' feet and the ointment, that she is preparing him for burial. It's one way of him getting the right kind of treatment that is required by Jewish law, right? And it fits because today is the last time that we celebrate what we call for this year, Sunday after Epiphany. Next Sunday is Transfiguration. We spend that on the mountain next week, and then after that we begin the diligent journey of Lent. So it is a time when we are kind of turning ourselves and heading, you know, taking that journey towards Lent. So that's one of the 300 sermons. There is another big common focus here where people talk about hospitality, because the woman, she does things for Jesus that normally the host would do, right? Jesus says, "I came into your house and you gave me no water," and whatever it says. I'm not preaching either one of those sermons today. I am drawn to this woman. And I'm drawn right from the start because Jesus is invited to this Pharisee's house, which is the only time that he is invited to a Pharisee's house. Usually he's, you know, dining with tax collectors and all the outcasts, right? But this is a decent, upstanding individual, people would gather. And so he's at the house of this Pharisee, and it just says that this woman from the city, she just kind of appears. It doesn't suggest that anybody let her in, or she knocked on a door, but just that all of a sudden she was there. And I can't help but wonder what the people sitting around the table would have thought. Where did she come from, and why? What business is it of hers to be here? But I think that she just needed to be there. And there's something really powerful in that for me, that she just shows up, that she's drawn to that place. And so we find her, it says that she stands behind Jesus, but then she must stoop down because she's weeping and she bathes Jesus' feet with her tears. And I can't help but think about how much you have to weep in order to cry enough to wash someone's feet. But that's not like, you know, me. Well, that was a really great commercial, like, which happens far too often. But she is weeping. One thing I read this week, it had her weeping out of joy. It said she's so happy to be forgiven, she's so full of love that she just weeps. But I think that that's missing something. Because, I mean, I've wept for joy, but I feel like this woman has more in her than this. Right? She comes from, you don't really have a clear definition, except that everybody in the room seems to not think highly of her, right? Even Luke, who writes, begins by saying, a woman who is a sinner. Yes. Who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating at the Pharisee's house. So her whole definition, she's a woman and she's a sinner. I listened to part of a lecture online that suggested that she wasn't just a prostitute, but that she was quite likely a sexual slave and probably quite young. This woman, she had no choices in life. She knew great pain. She knew suffering. She knew hard life. And I can't help but think that there's a lot of that in her tears as well. She comes as this person who is deeply wounded to the feet of Jesus. And then I think, much like I experience, and I hope you experience, that once she's in the presence of God, she feels loved in a way that she's never felt it before. She feels grace. She feels that despite her woundedness and her brokenness, that she is somehow enough. That God doesn't require any more of her. He doesn't require her to be fixed before she comes. And so I think there's all of that mixed into all of these tears. And she weeps. And I feel that weeping. I feel it when I read that. And then she takes her hair, and she dries his feet. And if the weeping and the washing his feet wasn't intimate enough, then certainly using your hair to dry someone's feet, imagine the intimacy of that. She is welcomed in a way that she has never been welcomed before. And then she takes this ointment and she anoints Jesus' feet. And that, I imagine, you know, the methodical, the rubbing. And I think that it's just this sacred and holy moment for the two of them. But as always, right? This sacred and holy moment is always surrounded by the real world. And so Simon the Pharisee, bless him, who I'm sure is a good person, right? Thinks to himself, well, if Jesus really knew who this woman was, he would not be letting this happen. And there's a whole sermon in there because Jesus knows what he thinks without him speaking it out loud. And Jesus says, Simon, I have something to say to you. Well, speak, teacher. And so Jesus tells this little kind of miniature parable, right? There are two debtors. One owes, I think it's 50, and the other is 500 denarii, and neither of them have the money to repay. So the lender forgives both debts. Who will be more grateful? Well, I guess it's a fairly obvious answer, right? And I think that Simon gets it right. I suppose, he says, the one who was forgiven the greater debt. And Jesus says, yes, exactly. This woman, she has just experienced this. So now, as with all parables, right, we get to play the story of which role do we play? Given that Jesus is Jesus, we don't take on that role. But then we ask ourselves, are we the person who is forgiven less or forgiven more? And while I'm sure that there are people in this world who qualify for the less, I am not one of them. And I suspect that most of us, if we're honest enough, know that we have much for which to be forgiven. And so, for anyone in this story, while we like to play Simon, the one who says, oof, look at that person, I think that we are the woman. It is us who come to the feet of Jesus and weep for our wounds and weep for the love that we receive. And out of that mixture of pain and joy, of sorrow and of gratitude, we do what we can. Right? The woman had little to offer but tears and ointment, and so she gave it. She gave it with deep devotion. And that is our call. In Matthew, Jesus says, I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was in prison and you visited me. I was sick and you cared for me. And they say, Well, when were you sick and carefree? When were you in prison? You've never been in prison. When did that happen? And Jesus says, whenever you did it for the least, you did it for me. So we don't have to wait to be at the feet of Jesus in order to serve. All we have to do is walk out into the world and to serve the first person that we meet, to feed the hungry, to visit those who are lonely, to visit those who are in prison, to visit, to be there for the people who need it, to provide for the sick. All we have to do is show up and use what we have. That is what is asked of us. And that is revolutionary. To care for those without looking for anything back, that changes the world. One bit by one bit by one bit. And I promise you that in those moments where we actually engage in that kind of service, that selflessness, where we take the humble position, we're the ones who find ourselves on our knees giving what we can give, we are changed. And it is in that moment that we feel more than we have ever felt that love and that grace. And that something that Jesus gives. And then, even though we are still wounded, we become new. We become whole again. We become the wounded healers of this world. This woman, she has such a powerful story, but she has no name. And I feel like that is both criminal, that she wasn't valued enough to be given a name, but in some way, it opens the story to me that her name becomes my name. This woman, she's incredible. She's this picture of everything female strength in my eyes, right? She understands that to kneel is something very powerful. So that is our call for today, for this week, and for the whole of our lives. For every day that we live on this earth, this is our call. To give to the least. Because that is to give to Jesus. And that is deeply, deeply powerful. Amen.